be seated. My sermon inspiration today was from a good friend and colleague in Winnipeg, Reverend Courtney Reedman Parker. Now, if you follow current events, if you're active on social media, then you're all aware of the U.S. policy to separate children from their families when they are detained, illegally seeking refuge in the United States at the border. We have reports, pictures, and audio recordings of the additional trauma that these children face as their parents risk everything to lead them away from danger into safety. Parents being deported back to their country of origin while their children are sent to detention centers, some of which are in other states, and these children are never likely to be reunited with their families again. These policies and practices are happening in another country, under leadership that is not our own. But it wasn't that long ago, in my lifetime, and perhaps yours too, that here in Canada, Indigenous children were taken from their parents, and in some cases were never seen again, who died in the care of our government and in the care of our churches. God, do you not care that we are perishing? Whatever your personal thoughts on immigration and immigration policy might be, the reality is that most, if not all of us, are the children or the grandchildren or the great-grandchildren of immigrants or immigrants ourselves. Somewhere in our family histories, someone at some time made the decision, under whatever circumstances, to leave their homeland and come to Canada to build a new life. Unless, of course, you are First Nations people. When my parents came to Canada from Trinidad and Tobago in the late 60s, they were seeking a place where they could grow a positive life away from the political violence that was increasing and the growing crime that was increasing in Trinidad. They moved to Canada, and all of their children, myself included, were born on Canadian soil. My life would have been so very different if my parents didn't make that courageous move. Now, my husband, Thomas, is still a German citizen and a permanent resident in Canada, and he left a wonderful country like Germany for family love. As an aside, I'll tell you the story. When Thomas and I were downtown at the immigration office many, many years ago, we rode in the elevator to the same floor with an immigration officer, and she said, "I guess we're going to the same floor." And I smiled and I cheekily joked at her and I said, "Guess which one of us is the immigrant?" And she laughed and she said, "Him, he talks funny." It was satire, and it was the perfect example of an understanding, a deep understanding of the multicultural gift that this country is. Unless we are First Nations, all of us have a family story of leaving a country and leaving it behind and seeking a new life in this country. If these stories that we're seeing happening south of the border are hard to hear, if these stories make us uncomfortable, they should. We ought to be discomforted hearing about children being taken from their parents. We ought to take pause when hearing the stories of people who leave everything they know and often many of the people that they love to start a new life, one free from war and strife. Even Jesus' own family fled to another country for fear of their child's life. God, do you not care that we are perishing? This past week, the First Lady of the United States, Melania Trump, she traveled to one of these child detention centers in Texas, and as she boarded her plane, she was pictured wearing that famous jacket now, with writing on the back that says, "I don't really care, do you?" And isn't this the crux of our gospel reading today? The disciples get into a boat with Jesus to head to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and while they're crossing, they encounter a great storm. They fear for their lives. Think about that. Seasoned fishermen are afraid for their lives crossing in the storm. This isn't nothing that they encounter. It isn't an overreaction. The boat is being swamped. And Jesus, he's asleep. In their moment of need, Jesus has to be woken up from his slumber. "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" the disciples ask. The disciples aren't concerned about whether Jesus can fix their problem, whether Jesus is going to calm the sea and the storm. The disciples' concern is about whether or not Jesus cares. "Jesus, God, do you not care that we are perishing? Do you not care that our children are being ripped from our arms? Do you not care about my distress, my disease, my fears, my concerns? Do you not care about my heartache and my heartbreak? Do you not care that my family is a mess? Do you not care that my job is on the line? Do you not care?" The storms of our lives, of our world, are just as real now as they were for Jesus and the disciples as they crossed the sea that night. The disciples have been with Jesus day and night and have seen him teaching and healing. The disciples have been learning from Jesus in private, and yet they still ask the question, "Do you not care?" And the same is true for us. We all want to know, we all yearn for God's care, for God to care about us, about our safety and well-being, because sometimes it's not entirely clear. Sometimes the storms are so great. The waves of trauma and distress crash into our boats. The winds of challenge and change beat into our sides, leaving us battered and bruised. We want to know that Jesus has got our backs. We want assurance that Jesus is not going to leave us or lead us into danger. We might start to believe that Jesus is asleep in the back of the boat, completely oblivious to the storm raging all around us, when that could not be further from the truth. Peace, be still. Jesus enters our lives, enters our world, enters into our pain and our suffering, into our deepest fears and anxieties, into our lowest and most painful moments, precisely because Jesus, because God, cares so much that God cannot be apart from us. God's care for us and for all of creation is so great that God sends Jesus to take on our hurts and our pain, our sin and our shame. As followers of Christ, we know that Jesus didn't just come here to teach, to be an example. Our faith tells us that Jesus comes into the world for us. God sends Jesus in the world to save us from the very storms that threaten to devour us, to save us from the systems that are set up to divide us, to save us from our very selves and the very destruction that happens when human beings look out for themselves alone. And by the way, that's the very definition of sin, to miss the mark of God because we're too busy looking inward. Jesus has come to bring the kingdom of God near. Near to you, near to me, near to the disciples, even when they don't quite understand what's happening. Even when we don't fully understand and fully, completely understand what is happening. "Why are you afraid?" Jesus asks. "Remember what I've already told you. I am here with you. God is with you. God is with us." At first, Jesus' response to the disciples might not seem all that compassionate. Have you still no faith? Even after everything that they have seen and heard together, the disciples still don't get it. They don't get who Jesus is, and they don't get what Jesus has come to do. Rather than being said out of a place of shaming or disbelief, hear Jesus' words with compassion. After everything they've been through together, after everything they've seen and heard, have you still no faith? Do you still not trust me? I care for you more than you know, more than you can even imagine. As the storms rage around us, Jesus is our peace. Jesus is in the boat with us. Even as the storm rages on, Jesus is with us. In baptism, Jesus names us and claims us as children of God, heirs of salvation. We're in this together. Because whether we live or whether we die, Jesus has come to bring the kingdom near. Whether we live or whether we die, we belong to God. Nothing and no one can stop God. No one. No storm, no sea, not anything that we do or fail to do, not even death itself is going to stop Jesus from caring for us and for all of creation. This is Jesus' promise to his disciples and his promise to us. Because God in Jesus cares about all of creation. Because God in Jesus cares about lifting the lowly. Because God in Jesus cares about healing the nations. Because God in Jesus cares about reconciliation through mercy and love. Because God in Jesus has come to bring about God's kingdom. God in Jesus has come to bring love. God in Jesus has come to bring peace, and God in Jesus has come to bring new life. May your kingdom come. May your will be done. For the love and care of a world in need. Amen.